The following is a class on the Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter number 5, text number 24, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasathikari, recorded on May 24th, 2008, in Taman Medan, Malaysia.
So tonight, here at ISKCON, Taman Medan, we are studying chapter number 4, text number 9 of Srimad Bhagavad Gita. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Janma karma chame divyam evam yo veti tatvataha chakvadehang punarjanma naitimam iti sarjana. One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving the body, take his birth again in this material world, but attains my eternal abode, O Arjuna. So much noise. Prabhupada was so strict about noise in the background. If the cook was in the kitchen even cutting the knife, he would stop. Even the slightest noise would be stopped. Purport. The Lord's descent from His transcendental abode is already explained in the 6th verse. One who can understand the truth of the appearance of the personality of Godhead is already liberated from material bondage, and therefore he returns to the kingdom of God immediately after quitting this present material body. Such liberation of the living entity from material bondage is not at all easy. The impersonalists and the yogis attain liberation only after much trouble and many, many births. Even then, the liberation they achieve, merging into the impersonal Brahma Jyoti of the Lord, is only partial, and there is the risk of returning to this material world. But the devotee, simply by understanding the transcendental nature of the body and the activities of the Lord, attains the abode of the Lord after ending this body and does not run the risk of returning to this material world. In the Brahma Samhita 5.33, it is stated that the Lord has many, many forms and incarnations, adhvaitamachyutamanadamanantagrupam. Although there are many transcendental forms of the Lord, they are still one and the same Supreme Personality of Godhead. One has to understand this fact with conviction, although it is incomprehensible to mundane scholars and empiric philosophers. As stated in the Vedas, Purusha Bodhini Upanishad, Eko Devyo Nitya Lila Nurakto Bhaktya Vapi Hridantar Atma. The one Supreme Personality of Godhead is eternally engaged in many, many transcendental forms in relationships with His unalloyed devotees. This Vedic version is confirmed in this verse of the Gita personally by the Lord. He who accepts this truth on the strength of the authority of the Vedas and of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and who does not waste time in philosophical speculations, attains the highest perfectional stage of liberation. Simply by accepting the truth on faith, one can, without a doubt, attain liberation. The Vedic version, Tattvamasi, is actually applied in this case. Anyone who understands Lord Krishna to be the Supreme, or who says unto the Lord, "You are the Supreme Brahman, the Personality of Godhead," is certainly liberated instantly, and consequently his entrance into the transcendental association of the Lord is guaranteed. In other words, Such a faithful devotee of the Lord attains perfection, and this is confirmed in the following Vedic assertion. Tam eva viditvati mrityum eti nanyo panta vidyate yanaya. One can attain the perfectional stage of liberation from birth and death simply by knowing the Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and there is no other way to achieve this perfection. Svetashvatara Upanishad 3.8. That there is no alternative means that anyone who does not understand Lord Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead is surely in the mode of ignorance, and consequently he will not attain salvation simply, so to speak, by licking the outer surface of the bottle of honey, or by interpreting the Bhagavad Gita according to mundane scholarship. Such empiric philosophers may assume very important roles in the material world, but they are certainly not necessarily eligible for liberation. Such puffed-up, mundane scholars have to wait for the causeless mercy of the devotee of the Lord. One should therefore cultivate Krishna consciousness with faith and knowledge, and in this way attain perfection.
What do you think?
Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Vadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Dham Sajivam Sadaitam Savadhutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha.
So, in this very nice verse of Bhagavad Gita, we understand the real truth.
In the Arbiana Srimad Bhagavad Gita, Sila Unmigale Namayanigami Bhagavad.
In this mundane world, they are not teaching us the real truth. The truth is not being taught on the radio. It's not being taught on the television. It's not being given in the newspapers or in the magazines. If we want to know truth, sit still. Sit still. Sit still. Don't jump around. Sit still. If we want to know the truth, then we have to hear Bhagavad Gita. And this is the great mercy of Sri Krishna. We all are His beloved children. Not only are these children children, sit still, don't play like them. Sit still, don't play. Not only are these children children, we are all the children. So we have to hear very seriously this message. We are requesting everyone, the adults and the children, to focus completely on what I'm saying. Don't do anything else. Just hear, that's all. Sit and hear, that's all.
So,
because if we can fully absorb ourselves in this transcendental sound vibration, We can realize God at any age. It doesn't matter, old, young, any age, even a little baby.
When
Prahlad Maharaj was still in the womb of his mother, you know that he was still in his mother's womb. Prahlad Maharaj was in his mother's womb. And by hearing the Shabda Brahma from the lotus mouth of Sri Narad Muni, he became a fully enlightened spiritual being. So there is no age that is too young for hearing this Shabda Brahma. So the children can be trained by to sit very nicely and fully absorbed without any distraction to hear the message of Bhagavad Gita. And by this absorption in transcendental Krishna consciousness, they will advance quickly in the path of bhakti. The other day I was speaking in Helsinki, and the child, he was playing in the other room, and the mother said, "Oh, this is high philosophy. The child cannot understand high philosophy, so he is not interested to hear." But actually, if the children can be taught how to hear high philosophy, if they can become accustomed to absorbing themselves nicely and hearing the high philosophy, you will see that they will actually understand it. Because the child actually has a very good intelligence. And if he utilizes his childhood days for hearing this message, you will be amazed how he will understand, he will realize this philosophy and very just like an adult. Sometimes, or even better than an adult. Sometimes I see that when I ask questions, and for questions in my lectures, the children will ask deep philosophical questions, even better than the parents are asking. So if we allow these children to hear nicely the Shabda Brahma, they can very quickly become very advanced devotees. They are the future leaders of the world. So we should give these wonderful children the best opportunity to become highly advanced in Krishna bhakti. Because anyone who understands the transcendental nature of Krishna, his janma and his karma, he is guaranteed to achieve the abode of Krishna at the time of death. He will go straight to Krishna loka. So, what is the difficulty? If we simply explain what is the wonderful birth of Krishna, and what are the wonderful activities of Krishna, and we understand it very nicely.
A little bit further from the microphone. Your mouth is hurting a little bit.
Then we can easily achieve the perfection of going back home, back to Godhead. This is confirmed all throughout the Vedic wisdom. So, if we understand who we really are, that we are not these bodies, they were all part and parcel of that amazing Krishna. Isn't Krishna amazing? Isn't Krishna beautiful? When I travel sometimes in Eastern Europe, they have a custom there, I don't know elsewhere, but in there, sometimes they ask for a traveling guru to give a child name. It is not a diksha. I don't know if you do that here. The parents ask that you could give my child a Krishna conscious name. So one mother brought her daughter to me to what you give my daughter a name. So I asked the girl, what do you like about Krishna? And she said, why do you like Krishna? She said, because he's so beautiful. So I gave her the name Shama Sundari. But that is a fact. There is nothing more beautiful than Krishna. You see. There is nobody more powerful than Krishna. There is nobody more renowned than Krishna. There is nobody more knowledgeable than Krishna. There is no one wealthier than Krishna. And there is no one more famous than Krishna. You see, these children, they sometimes like to watch the television to some hero, like, you know, on the TV, like Donald Duck or Daffy or, you know, Mickey Mouse. But you see, this is much, when you understand who is Krishna, then who cares for Bugs Bunny, you see? Who cares for the Roadrunner, you see? Krishna can run fast, million times faster than the Roadrunner. So as soon as you know about Krishna, you see, they will lose interest in the television, you see. Who wants to watch some stupid cartoon about the Roadrunner, you see? So therefore, give these children the opportunity to understand who is this amazing person who is the source of all existence. Do you children know what's holding this floor in place? What's keeping it from collapsing right now? You're sitting on the floor right now, okay? What's holding the floor up? Do you know? Can anybody say what is holding up the floor? Huh? Who can answer? What's holding the floor up? Huh? Anybody? Anybody answer? Who's holding the floor up? No one can say? Can anyone say who's holding up the floor? What's holding the floor up?
Krishna.
Krishna is holding the floor up, that's right. If it wasn't for Krishna, this floor would collapse. So Krishna, that is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita. Chapter number 7, text number 7. Matak parataram nanyat kinchit asti dananjaya mayi sitam. Mayi sarvam vidam. Mother's lap is also good, but sitting here. Matak prataram nanyat kanchirasti dananjaya. Mayi sarvam vidam pratam sutre mani gana iva. O conqueror of wealth, there is no truth superior to me. Everything rests upon me as pearls are strung upon a thread. So this floor is resting on Krishna.
So in the tare vandu nichayamaga Krishna mendan.
Now just like these neck beads, you see. What happens if you pull the string out from the neck beads? Will the neck beads still stay on my neck if you pull the string out from them? Do you know? You know what will happen if you pull out the string from these neck beads? They will fall all over the floor. You see. There's a string holding them together, see? So Krishna says, I am that string that is holding together the whole existence. So did you realize that this city that you live in, Kuala Lumpur, it's being held together by Krishna? If you remove Krishna from holding up Kuala Lumpur, the whole city will collapse. And you know, there's a country called Malaysia that you're living in, Malaysia. You see? Do you know that if you remove Krishna, Malaysia will fall into the ocean? Krishna is holding everything together. Even your body. If it wasn't for Krishna holding your body together, your body would collapse as a pile of dust on the floor. So just understand how amazing is Krishna. He's holding together your body. He's holding together this floor that you're sitting on. He's holding together the city of Kuala Lumpur and the country of Malaysia.
So in the Kuala Lumpur, in the Nagatiyam, Mantrum Natiyam,
Krishna is holding together the whole universe.
In the Sagara,
so just try to understand how amazing is Krishna. And you know who likes Krishna the most? The cowherd boys. Yes, very good. All right, answer it. I said it. Who likes him the most?
Krishna.
You, who? Tell me. Who likes Krishna the most? Tell me, answer. Speak up. Huh? Oh, I like him the most. Oh, that's very good. That's very good. I like that very much. That's very good. Prabhupada said we can compete to see who likes Krishna the most. You can put your hands down now. But you know, when the cowherd boys were playing in the forest with Krishna, they would have contests.
So in the madu meekum bolude, in the cowboy in red, and our madu meekum.
One cowherd boy, he would say,
Gopals bande, our poti pangai.
He would say, I will touch Krishna first.
Nada mudhe Krishna thodu.
And the other cowherd boy would say, no, I will touch him first. And then they would run to see who could touch Krishna first. So in this way, Krishna had great fun with his cowherd boyfriends. And they would go to play in the forest. And you know what would happen when they go to play in the forest? Sometimes a big demon would come. Oh, Agasura. A big, huge snake demon. And he opened his mouth so wide that his mouth touched the clouds. It's a huge, and they thought it was a mountain cave. So the cowherd boys, you know what they did? They went walking into the mouth of Agasura. But you know something? He had bad breath. His mouth stank really bad. The smell was coming from his intestines, you know, where you pass stool. But anyway, They went marching into the mouth of Agasura. And Krishna knew it's a demon. And he's going to swallow, he's going to kill all my cowherd boyfriend. Krishna thought, what to do? My cowherd boyfriends will all be killed by this demon. So for a moment, Krishna thought, I don't know what to do. He became bewildered. What will I do? But then he realized what he had to do. Then he understood what he had to do. Krishna also walked into the mouth of that giant Agasura. And then he expanded himself and he blew a hole in that demon's body. And that demon fell down dead on the floor. So these things were going on every day in the forest. Can you imagine? Every day another demon would come and Krishna would kill that demon. Try to hear. Don't play. Turn around. Try to hear. Don't play. Try to hear. Come on. Try to hear. We have telling you about Krishna. Try to hear. It's nice. So every day another big demon would come. And the cowherd boys, they would come home in the evening. They would be so amazed. They would say, Mataji, you wouldn't believe what happened. This big demon came today in the forest. And Krishna killed him. Mataji, he killed this demon. And the mothers would think, oh, these children, they make up so many stories. they think they're Krishna is some great god and they make up all these stories about him. But actually all of these stories are true. So when they be, you see what if we do not learn how to appreciate Krishna, we will think that I'm a little Krishna and everybody should worship me. In fact, that's why we've all come to this material world, because we all thought we were Krishna. You see, everyone thinks they're the best. Everyone thinks I'm the center of enjoyment. The whole universe revolves around me. I mean, everybody comes to their senses, everybody will offer me puja. Because I'm the center of the universe. So we try to do this. We try to act like we're the center of the universe. But then we have a hard time maintaining that, you see. When the little child is growing up in this home, sometimes the parents will pamper the child and he can actually think, I'm the center of the universe. But then when he goes to school, he's just one out of 1,000 kids in the school. And then he goes to the workplace and he's just one of, you know, a million people competing for jobs, you know. So this is why it's good to train the child from the very beginning how to hear very nicely about Krishna. Because then he will understand that Krishna is the center of the universe. As long as I think that I'm the center of the universe, then I'm going to be frustrated and disappointed. Because if I think I'm the Supreme and you don't recognize that I'm the Supreme, then I become disturbed. But if we can understand that my happiness is to give pleasure to Krishna because he's the Supreme.
பகவான் ஸ்ரீ கிருஷ்ணரிடம்தான் அந்த சந்தோஷம் எப்படி அவரை சந்தோஷப்படுத்தும் என்று நினைத்தால் நிச்சயமாக சந்தோஷம் நம்மளே தெரியும்.
You can always please Krishna.
எப்பொழுதும் கிருஷ்ணாவை சந்தோஷப்படுத்தும்.
When you're a little child growing up in the home, you can please Krishna. When you go off to school, you can please Krishna. When you go to the workplace, you can please Krishna. When you retire, you can please Krishna. And when you leave your body, you can also please Krishna. So this is the true secret of happiness. Therefore, from the very beginning, just like Prahlad, you see, the children should learn how to sit and wonderfully absorb themselves in hearing Krishna Katha. Because that will liberate them from a life full of so many frustrations and anxieties. And that is the sum and substance of our Krishna consciousness movement.
So, it is done in the Agra world of Krishna Bhakti.
What does it mean? What is the name of our society? You see, I see there ISKCON. What does that stand for? International Society for Krishna Consciousness. That means that every member of the society wants to be conscious of Krishna 24 hours a day. This means that we train our children always to be conscious of Krishna. The child is not interested to hear anything about Krishna. If it's about Krishna, the child is very eager to hear. And if it's about something else, he doesn't want to hear because it's not Krishna. See, this is the proper training. So we can create that atmosphere in our own homes. Between the husband and the wife, we can create that own atmosphere by always being talking about Krishna and hearing about Krishna ourselves. You see, to teach the children by example. Whatever standard a great man sets,